You are listening to Sales Secrets with Gabe Larson. In this episode, Natalie Baring from ServiceNow talks about how to support managers by coaching them, maximizing your one-to-one time, and focusing on their professional development.
All right, welcome everybody to the Sales Secrets Podcast. We're excited to get going today. We're going to be talking about how to really effectively support those frontline managers that are often forgot about. To do that, we brought on someone newer to the ServiceNow family. Her name is Natalie Baring. She's currently really focused in on sales leadership, onboarding, and development manager over there at ServiceNow. Natalie, appreciate you joining, and how are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I think this will be a fun topic to dive into. I think you're right. Sometimes there are these often forgot people in a sales organization, and they make all the difference, especially on the front line. Before we jump into the topic, though, can you tell us just a little bit more about yourself and kind of what you do over there at ServiceNow?
Yeah, so my current role is really focused on those sales leaders that are coming into the organization and how to really onboard them effectively, make sure that they have all the support that they need, and then a full sustainment plan for them as they move throughout the organization. And, you know, I grew up in sales, found my way to coaching through the enablement function for sales, and have really landed on this leadership piece for the exact reason of this topic, in that, you know, sales leaders are forgotten. They are some of the hardest working people in our sales organization, because not only are they managing down, but they're managing up as well. And their breadth of responsibility is significant.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Sounds like you're definitely passionate about the topic. It'll be fun to hear more thoughts on that. And fairly new, right? At ServiceNow. I mean, it's been a handful of weeks. Here. Well, not even weeks, a week, right?
Yeah. Day nine.
Day nine. Awesome. Well, congrats on the new gig. I'm sure it'll be a blast. I usually like to ask, you know, outside of work, anything you're passionate about, fun stories, embarrassing memories, anything jump out to you?
Yeah. So I'm your quintessential suburban sports mom. I spend an inordinate amount of time on sidelines of all kinds of different sports. I grew up an athlete myself, and one kind of strange adventure that I've had in my life is when I was much younger, faster, I was playing a rec pickup game in college, and luckily knew the guys that picked me up on the team because they had seen me play before, and got set up perfectly and was able to dunk the ball, which I was only able to do a handful of times in my whole basketball career. But unfortunately for the guy that I dunked over, he didn't take it very well. And when he got up off the floor, he just walked out of the gym. He didn't say anything. He just walked out. Like, hi.
That is so awesome. That's got to be like top five. I've heard a lot of weird stuff, but that is like top five. Mostly because you can dunk, or you were able to dunk. I mean, you're talking to
a long time ago.
Yeah. You know, I consider myself an expert high school athlete, high school basketball player, you know, 20 years ago. Boy, would I have given anything to dunk. Grab the ring. So kudos. And I can only imagine dunking in somebody's face is often hard, but it was probably a surprise that you just jumped over him and did that. So,
yeah, it was pretty fantastic.
But it's been a while since you've dunked the ball. Is that what I'm understanding?
Oh yeah, a couple surgeries later. No more dunking in my future.
I love it. You're continuing the tradition, right? You've got a couple of girls, a couple of boys. It sounds like that you're pushing onto the court.
Yep, they're. Well, my son's all in on basketball. Well, my son's all in on anything with a ball. My daughter's more on softball and swimming.
Fun. Yeah, we actually have a brand new baby, just 3 weeks old. So I'm joining.
Congratulations.
Of the kid show. So, all righty. Well, we could talk about that for hours. I'm actually wearing, Natalie and I were talking, it's rivalry week here in Utah. So you got BYU and Utah. So I've got a little bit of a wannabe athletic background. So we'll push that aside at the moment. Let's dive into this topic of how to effectively support these forgotten frontline managers. You touched on it a little bit, but where was this the nature or the genesis of this passion? Is it you mentioned it a little bit? Is it just because you've kind of seen this role often be forgotten and felt like it's so important to the organization, or why are you kind of passionate about it?
Yeah, there's a couple of things. In some of my enablement functions, I was really privy to what was being asked of the sales managers, and having been a people leader myself, I understand the demands of it. But when you really look at those frontline sales managers, they are expected to know so much, and they almost get put in a data jockey camp, in that they've got to report so much data up that the reason that they got into sales leadership gets pushed down because they don't have time or bandwidth to actually coach their team.
Yeah. Interesting. Isn't that funny, right? We hire them for a certain thing, and then fairly soon we want them to do exactly what we didn't hire them for, you know, run analysis, be some sort of, I love the data jockey standpoint. And in order for these guys to win, they've got to look at things differently. So how do you then start to get in and support these guys? I mean, they're often overlooked, as you've mentioned. Where do you start to kind of change that narrative, change that story?
Yeah, I think there's a couple ways that you can do it. Number one, the organization has to support it, which is one of the reasons that I love being at ServiceNow, is that they're so invested in the teams. You know, when you look at a sales manager, especially as they're coming into an organization, which I have the benefit of doing, you can really create good habits as you start, even if you are an experienced and tenured sales leader. So yeah, to me, it's operationalizing some of those things that can turn into nice to haves versus must haves.
Yep.
And, you know, some of that is really looking at employee development. It's looking at how to maximize your time when you do have meetings with your team and what the cadence of that should look like. It's making sure that the sales leader has the space and time to actually know their team and understand them, because if they're not connected, you're going to have attrition. And I think we're all aware that that's the last thing you want.
So yeah, so important. And these people, they need more training, right? I mean, oftentimes these high potentials have they have talent, you know, but they need to sharpen the edges and I think get a lot better. I was interested in one of the points you and I had talked about a little bit, this idea of running an effective pipeline discussion. I just feel like that's something that, again, it's assumed because you know how to close a deal as a rep, or you were a good rep, that you now know how to do that yourself. Right. I've seen great, I've seen poor. How do you start to think about coaching and supporting someone in that particular, you know, more tactical idea?
So the pipeline discussion is one that's close to my heart, because I feel like it's the one that gets derailed more often than not. Even though it happens, it tends to get the tangents happen, and it turns all of a sudden into a deal discussion instead of a pipeline health conversation.
Interesting.
Because as a leader, even if you're read into a lot of the deals, it's natural when you see the pipeline to say, well, tell me about this one, and really dig in. Mm-hmm. When the idea of a pipeline health discussion is really a higher level than that. You're looking at the overall breadth of opportunities in the pipeline and what does that shape look like? And, you know, if it's really big at the bottom and really tiny at the top, how do you coach that rep into making their pipeline healthier? So, you know, in that example, obviously, if you've got a lot at end stage and not a lot at the top, you're going to have that real magic mountain level of roller coaster versus like a nice rolling wave in terms of success. And so, you know, how to fill the top of that funnel to then get your pipeline into a much healthier shape.
Cool. So it is like, make sure that you at least start. And I don't know if you would agree with this, but look at the whole pipeline to start. What is the velocity? Okay. What's the inventory? Do we have a lot here? Do we not have any here? How is it moving through? Have that strategic conversation about the whole sales pipeline to start with. Then, you know, whether it's that discussion or later to, you can dive into specific deals, but when we're talking pipeline, let's talk pipeline. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I think the other aspect of it is that we can look at the health and say, okay, well, you need to do more of this, whatever it is in the pipeline that's off a bit. What's interesting is that the sales leader's next step really needs to then be the conversation around, what activities do we need to do to drive the right kind of behavior?
Yeah.
So, you know, reverse engineering it. If you're really skinny at the top and you don't have a lot in there, okay, so we need to get X number of deals in this to help you actually attain.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
If you're going to do that, and you know that of the 10 calls that you make, you're really only going to make maybe 4 connections and 1 or 2 of those are going to lead to something, then how many calls a week do you need to be having?
Oh yeah. That I just feel like that is so missed, especially in, it's not missed in sales development land. It's not missed, truthfully, even as much in inside sales, but as you move up that chain and you get, you know, field reps or a general sales group, and you ask them, I love that re-engineering. You ask them, like, how do you get to your number? Yeah. And you hear something like, well, my quota is 1.5 million or something. It's like, that's not what I was asking.
Exactly.
What I was asking was, how are you going to get there? Well, I'm hoping for a whale on December 31st.
That's right. I have a hope and a prayer. And I'm really hanging
not
on.
Not a strategy. Hope and not. So I love that. I mean, if you can back, and it's so helpful for a rep, right, to be able to kind of know, like, and you even went into activities. I mean, I feel like I love that idea, but I'm like, at least as a rep, be able to kind of say, look, if I've got a 1.5, I need to close, or I got a 1.5, I need to close 250K deals a month. Okay, in order to get those 250K deals, I'm closing at 10%. I need X, you know, so, okay. Like, give me something of substance, because I just feel like this, let a field rep do whatever they want, is killing, it's killing sales teams. Oh, that's awesome.
It is. One thing that I used to do as a rep is I would back out my number and I would have a post-it on my monitor for what I needed to close that week and what I needed to close that month.
Interesting.
And just have it in your line of sight, just so, to remind you of what you're driving towards. And if the activities you're doing are not driving toward that number, do you need to be doing them?
Gosh, yeah. Oh my goodness. We need to like get that and frame it on my wall. I've just talked to a lot of companies lately that I feel like that is, it seems more obvious, but I'm like, they're just not doing it. So I hope some of those people are listening. Anyways, okay, so that's one concept. Really support them in this pipeline discussion. I want to dovetail that into this idea of one-on-ones. I just feel like oftentimes people think about doing a one-on-one. They know they should do it. I've never seen organizations, never is a strong word, rarely have I seen organizations support a manager in doing a one-on-one, so it turns into a discussion. How have you thought through that aspect of making sure managers feel like they know what they're doing in that one-on-one interaction?
Yeah, one-on-ones are a really interesting adventure, especially for experienced sales leaders. There tends to be two camps when it comes to one-on-ones. Right. And you ask who owns the one-on-one, and you get about half of people who say the rep owns the one-on-one, and then the other half say I, as the sales leader, own the one-on-one. Mm. I happen to believe it's an and, not an or.
Okay.
And for me, the one-on-one, there's a couple things. One, you have to protect the time for it.
Yeah.
So when you as a sales leader book a one-on-one with your rep and then continue to push it, you are then telling your sales rep, you are not as important as other things in my life. And
ouch.
As much as the rep doesn't really want to be on the one-on-one, that starts to seep in of
psychological.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really protecting that time, making sure that it's a non-negotiable in your schedule. Maybe it's not going to take the entire amount of time you have booked, but it has to happen. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it becomes, to me, the way that I love to run one-on-ones is with a shared document. So whether you're a Google Docs or a OneDrive person, I personally love using OneNote.
Okay.
And I'll have a one-on-one agenda where I'll put in as a sales leader the topics that we need to cover. And my ask of you is that by the day before the one-on-one, you need to have your topics in there that we need to discuss as well.
Oh, so they could literally enter it themselves into this.
That's right. And then you can at the start of the call, you can say, okay, well, number one, is there any other business? But number two, okay, we may have seven things in here. We're not going to get through it all. What are our high priorities?
Yep.
And work through it. But the beauty of that is that if you don't get to it all, it either is going to flow to the next one, or you can address it on a separate conversation.
So just having a simple, just having a simple tool where you can capture, discuss, collaborate, Google Doc, you know, OneNote, OneDrive. I'm sure there's 100 tools. Well, I don't know. There's multiple tools you could come up with, but that sounds pretty foundational. I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, the one-on-one also provides the leader an opportunity to connect on a personal level and add that high touch to the high tech.
Yeah.
Because if your team doesn't feel that you're invested in them and doesn't know them, they're not going to run through walls for you. And frankly, they're not going to be nearly as committed to the organization.
Yeah. And making it that hurt me. I feel like I don't make that sacred enough, that one-on-one time. I often brush it off, and you're right. I think that although they may not even want to do it themselves psychologically.
That's right.
It does, I think, hurt. How do you then guide the conversation? I mean, is it kind of free flowing? Like, you put in some priorities, I put in some priorities, or do you try to talk about, you know, each time we at least cover these three things and then go into additional kind of agenda items? How do you kind of guide the conversation?
It's a great question. From my standpoint, I personally, cadence wise, like to do one-on-ones every other week, because a lot, you can get a lot more done in that span. If it's every week, sometimes you don't have enough time to actually get done the things that you've put on your to-do list.
Yep.
And then the opposite weeks, I like to have either pipeline reviews or deal discussions scheduled. So you have the touch every week, but not
the same conversation.
Structured one-on-one. Cool. But in terms of structure of one-on-one, I really love starting high level and going deeper. So from a sales leadership aspect, it's, okay, these are some of the big things that are happening in the company that I want to make sure you're aware of. And do you have any questions around? And then, you know, obviously, I personally actually start with, how are you? Mm-hmm. How are things?
Mm.
Is there anything that's bothering you?
Yeah.
Really getting that personal aspect in. And then we can go into more of the operational things. Okay. Where are we at? What do you need to do? And once a month, I make sure that part of the one-on-one is about their career development. How are you doing in terms of where you want to be? And, you know, a lot of people talk about career development as next step. It doesn't always have to be next step. It can be improving who you are in your role today.
Love that. Interesting. Do you feel like, I think there's sometimes a debate. It sounds like you're a believer once a week. You should be sitting down with them formally once a week. That's the right cadence.
For me, especially if you have a field sales organization, there needs to be a scheduled touch every week to ensure that people are connected and heard.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the other debates I feel like I hear is how much, throughout the conversation, however you've kind of structured it, how much do you praise versus, you know, the opposite of praise? Can't think of the word. Mm-hmm. you know, sometimes people, I've had reps say, hey, this just, I go into these one-on-ones and I just get chewed out. It's just feedback, 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 feedback. It's never positive and negative. Or I've had also reps come in and be like, it's so fluffy and just everything's nice. It's like, man, tell me what's going on. Like,
yeah,
no feedback here. Any just thoughts on kind of managing the positive and the negative part of like, hey, you are doing terrible and you are doing great. Like, how do you work those two together?
Yeah. So, you know, the research that I have read in recent history is that you really should only be, and I'm going to hesitate to use the word coaching, but working through opportunities for improvement, about 20%.
Okay.
Any more than 20%, and it's going to feel like you're just getting hammered.
Yeah.
And it ideally is woven into the conversation. So, you know, as you're walking through specific aspects, it's like, you know, I'm seeing your outbound calls being pretty anemic. How do we work on that?
Yeah. The way you also present it is different. I've always tried kind of a, I don't know, I'm sure I stole this from somebody, but I've always kind of thought of a 3-to-1. Like if I can try to do three positive things and then a negative thing, like keep it just in that balance. So yeah, 20% thing, it's not too far from that. 3-to-1, Gabe, 3-to-1, like, you know, be providing more positive and then bring something in that's up. And I love your language and even the use of like areas of opportunities, right? It's not that you're terrible at this, or this is just an area that language is small, but I think it matters a lot.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in words matter.
It does. It totally does. Having been married for a little while now, it really does.
Tone too, right?
Yes, totally. Like I've really learned that I've got to be very strategic about the way I talk to my beautiful wife, who I love so much. So you mentioned though this career path, and our time is getting a little short, but I wanted to get into this a little bit. How do you kind of think through helping people go this idea of retaining, cultivating, thinking about career path? That's often, everybody knows it's important. We all think it's needed to have a career path, and we always want to keep our best people. We never do anything about it, and we never actually have a career path. But how would you coach someone to kind of think through that?
Yeah, you know, I worked for an incredible sales leader in my last organization, and he was such a strong believer in individual development plans, and it was a requirement. And if you wanted to move in the organization anywhere, it had to be done. But it became part of the sales leader and the sales rep's quarterly conversation of where you were at, what you want to do. And frankly, when we ask people about how they're investing in themselves, how they're getting better, how we can support that, the sales rep is cared for and buoyed, because on those days, because not every day is good in sales, on those days that are not as comfortable, you can lie back on the fact that your sales leader understands what you're trying to accomplish and is supporting you in those goals.
Yeah. So again, it almost comes down to some formal, like you need something almost like you're one-on-one, like have something that's real. Don't just make it up and keep it all fluffy and in the air. Like have a performance plan, get something in writing and use that as a way to guide the conversation.
Yeah. And I love putting it into, you know, your overall performance evaluation. We're all never driven salespeople. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't look at the whole human though. Yeah. And you know, set those goals. If you don't write it down and if you don't inspect it, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. What you inspect, often improves. All right, Nally. Well, it's a fun conversation. You've really got me thinking on the one-on-one in particular. Like I need to probably do that better, so I'll have to try that.
So. One-on-ones are such an adventure, because I talked with another leader recently, and he's like, well, I talk to my team all the time. Yeah. I know everything that they're doing. And I said, yes, but you need protected time for them.
Oh my, yeah. Isn't it different? I was kind of thinking through that, right? I mean, I made sure that I sit right in the middle of kind of the action with the inside sales team and marketing. So I'm right in the middle of them. But you're right. When you go behind a closed door and you kind of both sit down and kind of like you said, like you start with something like, how you doing? You know, I mean, that's just different. It's just, wow. It just sets the whole different tone of the day and the conversation versus the chit chat that you often have back and forth. So, yeah. So I really appreciate especially this one-on-one. I know, again, I think I've got some things I can do there. Love the idea though of thinking a little bit more strategically about how you can support this management group. Obviously in your role, it's probably what you're doing now all the time. Thinking about how do I support the sales leadership team? Would have loved to dive into a couple of these other areas like professional development. How do you think about that? Because that's again, there's not always room to move up. You know, how do you go wide? How do you, so some of that type of stuff. So might have to bring you back on to dive in to a couple of those areas, that we missed, but let's stop it for now. If somebody wants to, well, let me ask you this. We covered a lot. If you had to summarize, or kind of what would be your leave behind for the audience? I'm just thinking we covered so much today. Any summary comments?
Yeah, I think there's two things. One is remember that you're dealing with humans, not numbers.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that walking into any meeting with your sales rep, please, for the love of all that's good, have gone into the CRM and gotten the data that you should already have so that they are not repeating their work and it can be a productive conversation.
Yes, seriously. I mean, this CRM thing is, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, right?
It is.
But we hate it. And so, yeah, whatever you can do to make it easier for reps, I love that as a takeaway. All right, Natalie, if someone wants to get in touch with you or do continue this conversation, maybe dive into some of those areas we weren't able to get to, is there a preferred method of communication or what's the best way to kind of get in touch with you?
Yeah, I think the best way is LinkedIn. I'm Natalie Behring, spelled like the C, B-E-R-I-N-G.
Love it.
And I'm happy to talk with anybody that is interested.
Love it. All right. Well, we'll make sure we include that in the show notes. Again, Natalie, thanks for the conversation on thinking about how to work with managers. And for the audience, remember, success is just one play away.
To learn more about this topic and many other sales secrets, come check out our resource center at resources.insidesales.com. Again, that's resources.insidesales.com. And thank you for listening to Sales Secrets with Gabe Larson.